Let us call upon the name of our God together in congregational prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, thy word has taught us to ascribe unto thee all glory and strength and dominion, and to ascribe to thee honor and in beauty of holiness to worship thee, the Lord. That call thy Spirit has brought to our hearts, drawn us unto thy house, brought us very near unto thee, now in prayer, so that by the power of thy word and thy Spirit and thy grace, we cross the threshold from this earth into heaven and stand before thy throne, thou who art the King of kings and Lord of lords, thou whose throne is exalted above all men and above all the earth. We thank thee, Father, that as we stand before thee and before thy throne, that thou hast revealed thy throne to be a throne of grace, and hast revealed thyself to be a God of mercy. For apart from thy grace in Christ, not one of us could stand. In ourselves, we must be consumed for all of our iniquity. But because of thy mercies to us in Christ, we may stand before thy throne tonight in prayer and in worship for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Lord. Pray, Father, that thou wilt bless us as we worship, that we might indeed honor thy name and ascribe unto thee all glory and strength and dominion. That thou sanctify our hearts and prepare our hearts as soil to receive the seed of thy word. That thou sanctify the lips of thy servant, that he may not speak his own folly, but that he may speak, thus saith the Lord. Cause that thy voice may be heard, so that departing this place tonight, we may say one to another, we have heard the word of God. I pray, Father, that thou wilt apply that word to us, so that in all of our sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted heads, we may look for our Lord Jesus Christ, who before offered himself for our sakes to thy tribunal, and who has removed all curse from us to come again as judge from heaven, as he said. We long, Father, to see our Lord on the clouds of glory. We long to see him in all of his ascended beauty and power and might. We long to behold the final judgment, and before that, the resurrection of the body. We long to see the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness dwells, where we shall, world without end, praise thy name, of which we have the smallest taste now, and about which we confess it is good and pleasant, and praise is comely, to sing praises to thy name, to worship thee in thy temple. And so wilt thou bless us in this evening with rest in the gospel of our Lord, with rest in the promise of his finished work, and the revelation of him as our Savior. We pray, Father, that the one exalted this evening in worship may be thee through thy Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that thou wilt watch over us in this evening also in the meeting that takes place following the worship service. Thou wilt give us grace to speak openly and freely together. That Thou wilt use this meeting for a good plan to be laid, for the oversight of us here in this place. Care for us, Father. We are thy sheep, thy pasture. Thou be near unto us and to our lambs. Do not leave us to languish, but wilt thou come near and gather us by thy word and spirit. Pray for wisdom for the council of First RPC as they oversee the saints here. Give wisdom also to the council of Second RPC as they concur with the plans. Pray, Father, for wisdom from on high. Keep us ever from our own wisdom from below, which is earthly and sensual and devilish, and which never profited anyone and never shall. Give us the wisdom from on high, that in all things we may honor thee. Wilt thou remember thy people also in the Philippines, whose Lord's Day has long come to an end, and who now begin to stir in the beginning of their work week. We pray, Father, that thou wilt sustain the saints of the First RPC of Bulacan in the Philippines. Wilt thou sustain them especially in these days with regard to the slanders that are being made against them, slanders made very publicly and widely that seek to discredit them, that seek to undermine their faith and to make their cause to be merely earthly. Protect them from that slander. Give them joy that they share the reproach of their Lord, who also was accused of being sensual, of having an interest only in the things of this earth, as a glutton and a wine bibber. Though that slander was entirely untrue, now that the people in the Philippines may bear that same reproach, wilt thou give them also the joy of their Lord. We thank thee, Father, for even these gifts of sorrows and persecutions. Wilt thou humble us by them and cause that our hearts may never be lifted up in pride? For that pride is always at the threshold of our heart. That pride lurks as an ugly beast in our own hearts. We hate it. For that pride would take honor from thee, describe it to us. Monstrous wickedness, unthinkable thing. Wilt thou forgive all our pride? Wilt thou give to us true humility, the humility of our Lord himself? We pray that thou wilt continue to gather thy church, defend thy people. Wilt thou remember thy saints who struggle with their calling, who wrestle with it, who find it to be a great perplexing problem for them. Wilt thou show them clearly thy will, thy way. Wilt thou give them the mind of Christ, which is able to evaluate all things not according to the pride of man, that mind of Christ that is humble and subjects all things, all earthly ties, all earthly possessions, all earthly things to thy will and to thy truth. Father, continue to gather, defend, and preserve thy church. Wilt thou forgive the sins that we have committed, even in this worship service, blot them out in the blood of Jesus Christ? Thou keep us from every way of sin, Pray, Father, that thou wilt cause that we might honor and serve thy name together this evening. Hear our prayer. Answer us in mercy. For we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen. We worship the Lord now in the giving of our offerings. The one offering that will be received here in Northwest Iowa is for the First Reformed Protestant Church of Bulacan in the Philippines. The two offerings that will be received in First RPC in Jenison are first of all for the building fund and second for the First RPC of Bulacan. And the two offerings that will be received in Second RPC are first for the building fund and second for Reformed Protestant education. We turn in our Psalters now to 224, Psalter number 224. We'll sing the six stanzas, all six of 224. We turn in God's Word tonight to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. This is the word of God, holy and inspired. May he bless it to our hearts this evening. On the basis of that passage and many others, we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 19. Lord's Day 19. Question 50, why is it added, and sitteth at the right hand of God? Because Christ is ascended into heaven for this end, that he might appear as head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. What profit is this glory of Christ, our head, unto us? First, that by his Holy Spirit he pours out heavenly graces upon us, his members. And then, that by his power he defends and preserves us against all enemies. What comfort is it to thee that Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead? That in all my sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head, I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God, and has removed all curse from me to come as judge from heaven, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, this evening we come to that portion of the Apostles' Creed where we confess that Jesus sitteth at the right hand of God, and from thence, that is, from that right hand of God, he shall come again to judge the quick or the living and the dead. We are up to that point, therefore, in the Creed this evening where we confess the astounding honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It would be appropriate for us tonight if we would all get out of our chairs and lay down flat on our faces on the floor in order to hear this word of God about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the honor and the glory of our Lord. And when even John, that beloved disciple of Jesus, who ate the Lord's Supper lying in Jesus' own bosom, when even that beloved disciple of Jesus saw the ascended Lord in all His glory, as recorded in Revelation 1, even that beloved disciple who was close to Jesus fell on his face as a dead man before the Lord. Such was the honor and the glory of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. Then, while we were all lying on our faces on the floor, the minister would be tempted to say, "Now, get up and go home anyway, because my ignorant lips and my ignorant tongue are inadequate to tell you of the glory of your Lord." So that all of our understanding of the Lord and His glory tonight must not come from man, but must come from Jehovah God Himself, as He sets before us the Lord Jesus Christ in all His glory. And in that glory of our Lord is the salvation of His church. For we have to do tonight with the one who sits thence, that is, who sits at God's right hand, and who from God's right hand will come again to judge the quick and the dead. And His sitting at the right hand of God is profitable for you, profitable for me. Our salvation is found in His sitting at God's right hand. Because He sits at God's right hand, having ascended there, to appear as the head of His church. As the head of His church, in love for His church, in almighty power for His church, to pour out upon us from thence, from the right hand of God, all the heavenly graces, and to defend by His power His church. And from thence, from that right hand of God, He shall come again. And you will see Him come again. If you are on the earth, you will see Him come again from the point of view of the earth, descending from heaven with all His holy angels and all the souls of the saints made perfect. If you are in heaven, having died already, when He comes again, then you will participate in that return of the Lord, coming with Him as one of those who have been made perfect, and as one who makes up the train of the Lord in His return. You will see Him come in His return, that one who already has died for you, and who already has removed all curse from you. You will see Him come again and raise the dead and judge all men. Remarkable, marvelous, beautiful, glorious truths that are set before us tonight in the truth of our Lord sitting the right hand of God, from which right hand He comes again. So not lying down on our faces on the floor of the gymnasium, but bowing in our souls before God tonight, let us hear this word of God under the theme, From Thence. In the first place, consider Christ at God's right hand, and in the second place, consider that Christ shall come again. From thence, Christ at God's right hand, and Christ shall come again. The Catechism draws our attention to that phrase in the Apostles' Creed that reads, "He sitteth at the right hand of God." And that phrase refers to a distinct portion of the Lord's exaltation. Though this is very closely connected to His ascension into heaven, His sitting at the right hand of God is a distinct aspect of the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Exaltation which includes His resurrection from the dead. Exaltation which includes His ascension into heaven. exaltation which includes his sitting at the right hand of God, and exaltation which includes his return to judgment. The Catechism calls our attention to that phrase in the Creed where we confess, "He sitteth at the right hand of God." We call that his session because session means sitting. This is his sitting. Or we call it his coronation, his crowning, because when he sat down at the right hand of God, the Lord Jesus Christ was clothed with all glory and honor, and dominion and a kingdom were given to him. That sitting at the right hand of God occurred immediately following his ascension into heaven. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended 40 days after his resurrection, he was carried by that cloud chariot, which is an appropriate vehicle for Jesus Christ, from the mountain top of Olivet up into heaven itself. And as that cloud chariot approached the gates of heaven, the voice of Jehovah God rang out in heaven itself, "Ye gates, lift your heads. The glad summons obey, ye doors everlasting, wide open the way, and the King of glory shall come in." And through those gates of heaven came the Lord Jesus Christ on that cloud chariot right to the throne of God. And in heaven, beholding that ascension of the Lord, were all of the holy angels, those tremendous creatures who blaze forth with the glory of God, and all of the souls of God's people made perfect. They all beheld as the clouds brought Jesus right to the throne of God. Jesus stepped off the clouds and sat down at the right hand of God, on the very throne of God, that throne which dominates heaven, that throne which is the centerpiece of heaven, so that no matter where you are in heaven, it is the throne of God that you see, and the throne of God that carries your attention. The Lord Jesus Christ sat down on God's own throne in that space for him at God's own right hand. According to Daniel 7, when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, God gave to Jesus Christ glory and dominion and a kingdom that all people should serve him. And that giving to Jesus Christ by God of glory, dominion, and a kingdom was God's coronation ceremony for the Lord Jesus Christ. He crowned him with that glory and with that dominion and kingdom, so that from that moment forward, the Lord Jesus Christ, crowned by God, is the one who directs and rules and governs all things. As we read in question and answer 50, Christ is ascended into heaven for this end, that he might appear as head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. The Lord Jesus Christ, having risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, now has been crowned with glory and dominion and a kingdom. And by him, God rules all things. God rules all of the joys of your life and all of the sorrows. He rules all of the rising and the falling of the nations. He rules and governs the rulers of all of the nations. He rules and governs the whole world and all of the brute beasts of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ governs all things on behalf of Jehovah God, so that all things come to pass by the will of God and by the power of the ascended and seated and crowned Lord Jesus Christ. And that Lord who sits at the right hand of God, by whom the Father governs all things, is your Lord and your head. His power is unmatched. His sovereignty cannot be overthrown. And so why is it that you and I are still so tempted to fear men. Why is it with our Lord ascended into the heavens and sitting at the right hand of God that we are tempted to tremble before men? Behold your Lord. Behold your Savior. Behold your head who sits there in the heavens. What can a man do against the church of Jesus Christ? What can a man do, though that man kills the church? Though that man is successful in taking away her earthly life, what can he do against the church? Even that man, you and I, or those men, you and I are tempted to fear, are in the sovereign control of the ascended, crowned Lord Jesus Christ. The Catechism says that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God for a purpose, a very specific purpose. Christ is ascended into heaven for this end or this purpose, that he might appear as head of his church. The Catechism uses that word appear. And the question that that word demands is this: appear to whom? Or appear before whom? And the idea here is that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven for this end, that he might appear before God as the head of his church. The Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven to appear before God. That is a terrible thing. Not terrible in the sense that it is bad, but terrible in the sense that it is so weighty. To appear before God is no light thing, but to appear before God is a very weighty thing. Because Jehovah God is he who sits in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, neither can see. And Jehovah God sits upon his throne in heaven as the centerpiece of heaven, that throne as the centerpiece of heaven, giving light to all of the corners of the heavens. And that light that shines from Jehovah God is all of his perfections, including his holiness, his perfect holiness. And if one is going to appear before God, then one must measure up to God. One must have the same holiness as God. One must have the same absolute perfection as Jehovah God does in his own being. And if one is contrary to that being of God, then you mayn't appear before him. For the glory of Jehovah will consume that man who does not measure up to God. And when one appears before Jehovah, Jehovah sees all of that man. He sees right through that man. He sees everything about that man. That throne of God is described in Revelation 4 this way: and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Those seven lamps, which are the spirits of God, which is the Spirit of God, which illuminate all things so that nothing is hidden. Those lamps, which elsewhere in the Word of God are described as seven eyes, which are the Spirit of God, which see everything, so that God sees a man down to his deepest core when that man stands before him. Jehovah sees every blot that there is to see and every blemish that there may be. And from that throne proceed lightnings and thunderings and voices. It is a tremendous thing to appear in the presence of God. There is noise there. The noise of the almighty, holy crash of the thunder of Jehovah and all of the voices that represent all of the speaking of this great God. And Elsewhere in the book of Revelation, we read of a fiery stream that proceeds forth from that throne of God. Jehovah, in all of His glory, does not sit there as some kind of incandescent light that merely gives off some light, but His glory is an inferno. It's a fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And that light of all of His glory blazes forth from Him as this fiery stream. And when Jehovah, who sees all things and knows all things, has a man stand before Him and appear before Him, then if Jehovah sees any blemish in that man, that fire of His glory consumes him. That's Jehovah, seated on His throne in the heavens. For our God is a consuming fire. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when He ascended into heaven, ascended for this purpose, that He might appear before Jehovah. He might appear in His own presence. And the eyes of Jehovah searched out the Lord Jesus Christ, looked Him up and down and through. And the Lord Jesus Christ was not consumed, but could stand before Jehovah. For Jesus Christ perfectly is in harmony with the being of Jehovah and perfectly measures up to the holiness of Jehovah God Himself. He is Himself, Jehovah, the second person of the Trinity come in our flesh. And He has perfectly, as a man, according to His human nature, obeyed the whole law of God. So that when Jehovah's eyes searched Jesus Christ, as He appeared in heaven at His ascension, those eyes saw no blemish, not a single spot, and saw, in fact, complete, perfect purity and obedience. And that's all the more remarkable because when the Lord Jesus Christ was upon this earth, God took all your dirt and all my dirt and He put it on Christ. All of your imperfections and all of mine, all of your sin and iniquity, all of your sinful nature, He put all of that on Christ. Though Christ was Himself sinless, though He obeyed God perfectly, all of our iniquities were laid upon Him. The Lord Jesus Christ took all of those iniquities to the tree of the cursed cross and paid for them all, so that every last one of those sins is covered and atoned for by the blood of Christ. So that when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and stood before Jehovah and appeared before Him in His throne, every blot of your sin was gone. Not even the smallest blemish of it appeared anymore, for it had all been covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord ascended to do, to appear in the presence of God, before the face of God, as perfectly sinless, holy. When the Lord Jesus Christ appeared before God, God declared, as He had during Jesus' own life, "This is My beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." The Lord Jesus Christ did not appear merely, though that itself is awesome, He did not appear merely as a perfectly righteous man. He appeared before the throne of God as God's own Son, whom God loves and has loved from all eternity. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ appeared there. The Lord was pleased with Him. The Lord loved Him as His own Son. When the Lord crowned Him with glory and dominion and a kingdom, that was God testifying the righteousness of Christ, the love that God has for Christ. Can you see that glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect beauty of Him, in all of His holiness and righteousness and obedience and sonship before God. Can you see that? By faith you see it. By faith I see it. And now add to that this. And here is the gospel of your salvation. That the Lord Jesus Christ appeared before God as the head of His church. As the head of His church. And when the Catechism says He appeared before God as the head of His church, it's using that idea of headship in the sense of representation. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ represented you and represented all of the members of His church when He appeared before God. The Lord Jesus Christ has always done that. He's always represented His church. So that what's true of His church is true of Him, and what's true of Him is true of His church. That explains Jesus' whole life on this earth. He came as our head. He came as our head. He represented you. And when He suffered the wrath of God on this earth all His life long, but especially at the end of His life, He was suffering that wrath as a representative. He Himself was not worthy of that wrath. He Himself had never sinned. But He suffered that wrath of God as the representative of His church. And He died on the cross as the representative of His church. He took our place. He was our substitute. And representing us before God as our head, died and laid down His own life for our salvation. He's always been representing us. Well, the same is true when He ascended and now sitteth at the right hand of God. He ascended as our representative head. And when He appears before the presence of God in all of His righteousness and holiness and perfect obedience, He does that on your behalf so that you too may appear in the presence of God and measure up to God. And so that you too may hear from the lips of God, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He's the head of His church, represents His church as the head, so that when you appear before that consuming fire, you are not consumed. And when the eyes of the Lord search you out, and look you up and down and through and through, but the eye of Jehovah beholds is the righteousness of your head, the perfect obedience of your Savior. You have a place there before the throne of God in His own presence for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Lord. And you have that now. Not only someday, blessed, blessed day when the Lord takes you to glory. You close your eyes finally on this earth and open them in heaven before the throne of God and see there your Lord sitting at His right hand and know that by Him you have a place there before God. But you appear in God's presence already now when you come to church. You're in the presence of God and you appear before Him. When you pray to God, cross the threshold of heaven, appear before His throne of grace. You may do that. You may stand before Him now, perfectly righteous, perfectly measuring up to God Himself and His own being and His own holiness, not in yourself, but in your head. The Lord Jesus Christ. Let the teaching that a man stands before God in any sense on what that man has done be done away with among us. What an utterly foolish teaching. What an utterly wicked teaching. That a man will stand before that God who is a consuming fire, partly because of what that man has done, that a man will obtain fellowship and the experience of fellowship with that God who is a consuming fire by what that man has done. Let that damnable teaching be done away with in our midst. And may our hope and our faith for appearing in the presence of God be in our head, our ascended head alone, who appears now in the presence of God as the head of His church. The Catechism continues its explanation of that sitting at God's right hand by asking about the profit of this glory of Christ, our head, unto us. Question 51. And the first profit is that by His Holy Spirit He pours out heavenly graces upon us, His members. The Lord Jesus Christ not only appears before the presence of God as the head of His church, but He also pours out from heaven upon His church heavenly graces by His Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ, by His suffering and death, has obtained for the church all her blessings. He has obtained for the church all her salvation. He has obtained for the church His own Spirit by which He pours out upon us all of these heavenly graces. And as the Catechism describes this prophet of our Lord sitting at the right hand of God, it packs in to a few words a marvelous wealth of riches. The Catechism says He pours out heavenly graces. Heavenly graces. The Catechism talks about heavenly graces. It means blessings. It means the blessings of our salvation. But it calls them heavenly blessings. Heavenly. They come from heaven. Those blessings are from that place where God has set His throne. The blessings come from that place that erupted with the praise of the angels and the church and the creation at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the sound that reverberated through all the caverns of heaven was the new song of praise to the Lamb. The blessings come from that place where Jehovah God dwells and where He brings His church to live with Him forever. That's what your blessings of salvation are. So that these heavenly graces or these heavenly blessings are nothing less than Jesus Christ and all His life. Jesus Christ and all His fellowship with God. Jesus Christ and all His covenant mercies. That's what's poured out on you. That's what you and I have here on the earth. We who are dust and who feel that in a thousand ways we are dust. We who, when all of us are put together, are still only dust. That doesn't even move a balance. We, creatures of the dust, are given heaven, the blessings of heaven, all earned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice, the Catechism calls those heavenly blessings graces. Heavenly graces. Grace is something that is not deserved. Grace is God's attitude of favor for His people who by nature have forfeited that favor. But the Lord has favor upon them graciously anyway because He is a compassionate God and according to His own goodwill and purpose. All of these blessings, every last one of them, is a grace to you and a grace to me. And that's how the child of God receives them too. When he receives from his ascended Lord all of his salvation, the child of God doesn't say, well, yes, that seems about right that I get all of these things. It makes sense to me that I am the recipient of this grace, of these blessings. But the child of God falls down before Jehovah and says, I am not worthy of any of these things. The only reason that I have them is thy grace in Christ. My own good pleasure, my own sovereign will, for I am the chief of sinners, and of all men I am most unworthy of all these things. And all this salvation, and all this heaven, and all this Christ is only by thy grace, God. That's what these blessings are. Heavenly graces that he pours out upon us by his Spirit. And then the second prophet of our Lord sitting at God's right hand is that by His power He defends and preserves us against all enemies. And here the child of God does not know whether to laugh or cry, because in our earthly sojourn, these enemies appear so powerful. These enemies can so much dominate our mind and our thoughts and our sleep and our waking. The enemy that is the devil, who is so crafty and so experienced at tempting me, tempting you. The enemy that is the wicked world, constantly calls to us, come along with us, come away with us, and all of our life. And all of our kingdom that we're building here below. And all of our things. We're just like you, you know, and you're just like us, you know. Come away with us. And the false church that ridicules and berates people of God, calls them all kinds of folly for the truth and their Lord. All these enemies dominate our view. But the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven that by His power He may defend and preserve us from all our enemies. By His power, the power of Him who conquered death, and Him who conquered sin, the power of Him who has glory and dominion and a kingdom as His right, the power of Him who governs all things in this world, by His power, which is infinite and almighty, He defends us from all these enemies, so that the child of God stands in the midst of a constant storm, constant sorrow, persecutions, as the next question and answer refers to. He says, who is he that condemneth? Who is he in all the world that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the Father, gave himself for us. What enemy shall overthrow the church Jesus Christ, who sits at God's right hand and by His power defends and preserves us? From that right hand of God, Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ will be as glorious, as marvelous, as His ascension into heaven was, with this addition, that you and I will see His return. You and I weren't there to see His ascension. The only way we can see that is by faith, which is quite something. To see the Lord go into heaven, as it is recorded in the Scriptures, to see Him appear in the presence of God, to hear by faith heaven erupt with the praise of all men and all angels and all the creation. It's quite something to see that ascension by faith, but you and I didn't see it with our eyes. You and I shall see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ on the clouds of glory. That return will be marked by tremendous signs in the heavens above. The sun will be darkened so that it will not give any light. And all the stars from heaven shall fall so that they shall not give their light. And the moon shall be turned to blood so that it shall not give its light, with the implication that all light in all of the world, all of the headlights of the cars, and all of the lights in the living room will go out, so that the whole earth is shrouded in utter complete darkness. And then into that utter complete darkness there will come three tremendous shouts. The first shout will be the voice of Jesus Christ Himself, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, as He descends from heaven. His voice shall be heard. The second voice shall be the trump of Jehovah God, His own voice. The third will be the voice of the archangel. These tremendous shouts will rend the heavens so that in what before was pitch darkness will then be blazing glory as the heavens are opened. The Lord Jesus Christ descends on the clouds of glory, and all men shall see Him. Wherever you are in the world, you will not have to squint your eyes and try to make out on that cloud chariot the Lord Jesus Christ, for He will be shining with all the glory of His Father. He'll be the only thing to see in all the world. And all His holy angels will be with Him, rank upon rank, file upon file, the souls of His people made perfect. He shall return from heaven as He ascended in the clouds of glory with great honor and power. That shout of the Lord Jesus Christ will at the same time have raised the dead, so that all of the bodies of God's people shall arise out of the grounds, made perfect and whole, be reunited with their souls which are descending with the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, all men, the reprobate too, shall be raised, but the reprobate for destruction, the elect for glory with Jesus Christ. And then you and I, we are still here on the earth. When the Lord returns, then you and I shall have our turn. And that shout of the Lord, that trumpet of Jehovah's voice, which raised the dead, shall then cause those of us who are alive and remain to be raised as well and caught up together with the Lord in the clouds, so that we go through a resurrection without having gone through a death. We shall be raised with Him, like Him, in the clouds. And then shall be the final judgment, that all men, angels, devils, stand before the great throne of God, the judgment being given to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ shall declare the verdict that all men already know, but which shall be heard publicly by all. You too, in that day, being raised by the Lord Jesus Christ and standing in your glorified body with the rest of the sheep at the right hand of Jesus Christ, shall hear from His lips that verdict, you, my child, not guilty. You are innocent, righteous, for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the sake of His righteousness. We will be brought to live in the new heavens and the new earth, which the Lord shall make in that day for all His people. The perspective of the child of God, according to the Heidelberg Catechism, with regard to that return of the Lord, is that I see it and wait for it in all my sorrows and persecution. The Heidelberg Catechism knows nothing of a post-millennial golden age where the world shall become more and more Christianized and more of the institutions of this earth will be under the control of Christians. The Catechism knows nothing of that. The Reformed faith knows nothing of that because the Bible knows nothing of that. The child of God is in the midst of suffering and persecution. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is chased and persecuted from one place to the next, so that the people of God must go from one city to the next city, as Jesus said in Matthew 10, until the Lord returns. In all my sorrows and persecution, I look for the Lord Jesus Christ. You, church, you people of God, you fellowship, in your sorrows and persecutions, do not be discouraged as you look for the return of your Lord. But the child of God, though he is in the midst of these sorrows and persecutions, looks for that return of his Lord with uplifted head. With uplifted head, his back may be bloodied, his feet and his arms may be in fetters, his soul may be broken with the persecution of his enemies, but his head is up. That means his faith is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, looking for him. And looking for him with all joy, with all anticipation, without any fear, because that one who returns for you is the one who himself has already offered himself before the tribunal of God for all your sins and removed all the curse from you. The one who returns for you is your Lord, your head, your brother, your Savior, who loves you with an unbreakable and everlasting love. That's the one who returns. The child of God, hearing that, can say about this whole earth and all of its things, let it all perish. Let it all be taken away. Let the persecution increase. Let it become hot to the losing of our lives. My head is lifted up in faith for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall return from thence, the right hand of God, where he now sits in glory. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word to us this evening. Bless it to our hearts. Encourage us by it. Thou show us our Savior by this gospel. Cause, Father, that we may have good hope and faith in Him. We thank Thee for His glory. We thank Thee that He appears in Thy presence as our head. We long to see Him. Come, Lord Jesus, yea, come quickly. In His name we pray. Amen.